God who provides, because he provided the ram. Now let me ask you, how old was that ram?
Probably a year or two.
Probably a year or two. We don't know. It doesn't say. But most sacrificial lambs were at least a year old. When did God actually provide for Abraham's sacrifice?
Did you say how old is Abraham?
No, how old is the ram?
Sorry.
When did God actually provide the sacrifice? At least a year or two before. Right? That's when the ram was born. What does that tell you and me? When you run stuck, does God already have your provision waiting? Has he already provided in his economy for your needs? Ah, yes. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is the God who provides. Okay, that is the historical argument. Then in a nutshell, let me look the similarities between the two. There were two sons with the same father. There were two sons that were both circumcised. There were two sons that both grew up in the same home till Ishmael was at least 13, probably 17, because he was 13, we believe, when Isaac was born. When Isaac was weaned, he was probably now 16 or 17. So they both grew up in the same home. Some of the differences: one was their status in the eyes of the law. Hagar was a slave, so by legal means of the day, Ishmael would be a slave. Sarah was free and always was free, so Isaac would always be free. Secondly, was their manner of birth. Ishmael, according to Galatians 4:23, was according to the flesh, meaning it was the everyday way babies were conceived and the everyday way babies were born. Isaac, on the other hand, was born according to the promise. He was born the way everyday babies are born. But he was not conceived the way everyday babies are conceived, because Sarah was past the time of childbirth. So God had to do a supernatural work. It wasn't a supernatural conception in terms of like Jesus, but it was a supernatural uniting of Abraham and Sarah in order for Isaac to be born. And it says in Genesis 18 that Sarah laughed, you know, and we talked about that at my age. And yet Hebrews 11:11 says Sarah considered him faithful. So we interpret Genesis through the eyes of Hebrews, and we understand that, yes, she did laugh, but somewhere in the context, she still considered him, God, to be faithful. So, with Hagar, you could put it this way, that Abraham believed God helps those who help themselves. You ever heard that? Do you know where that's found in the Bible? Anybody?
Yeah, it's right next to the verse that says, cleanliness is next to godliness.
Yes. And that's actually in Hezekiah chapter 3, verse 14. So Abraham was operating, if you will, underneath that principle, which is not God's principle of, well, God helps those who help. And it sounds so good, but it's not biblical. And he saw himself acting, if you will, as amateur providence. If divine isn't going to kick in, well, I'll take care of this. So Abraham, if you will, is going to take the blessing rather than wait for the blessing. So to close up the historical argument, there was one son by proxy, one son by promise. There was one son by works. There was one son by faith. There was one son who was a slave. There was one son who was free. And represented in those two sons, which we'll get to the allegory next week, Jim, are two entirely different approaches to religion. Law versus grace. Flesh versus the spirit. Self-reliance versus divine dependence. How do they tell that story? They tell the story that it was Ishmael because whom Abraham sacrificed.
Really?
Do you know why they do that? It's in the text. What did God tell Abraham in Genesis 22? Which son to take? Take your son, your only son, your firstborn son. They take that literally. And we understand that your firstborn son of promise. Not Ishmael, who was, according to Paul, according to the flesh. Muslims understand Abraham as their father, but they understand the line of Ishmael. Because Ishmael, even today, there's two sons, and if you could divide the world into those two sons, you'd have the Shemites, the Semites, the Jewish people, and the Arabs. And they know they're Arabs. They would never claim to be Jewish. And they read the text and says Abraham took his son, his firstborn son, Ishmael. And they say our text is corrupted. That's how they get around that. Because our text says, take your firstborn son, Isaac. And they would say, well, your Bible's corrupted because it says right there, firstborn. So. Okay, questions, comments? We went too long on Galatians, so now we only got, 3 hours for questions. So
you can sit down if you're getting tired. What about, we've all read the story about Abraham trying to pass his wife off his sister. Was that a lie?
No. She was his half sister.
Okay. So we can kind of tweak the things that we want and to.
Well, let me ask you this. How'd that work out for Abraham?
Not too good.
No, because Abimelech, it's interesting because in Genesis 18, there's a story with Abimelech. He goes to Gerar and tells the same story as he said to Pharaoh. And so Abimelech takes her, and you go, now, I'm sorry, but she's 90 years old. I mean, now, Abimelech's either got to having a hard time with the ladies, or she is, I don't.
He was older than we thought.
Oh, that could go south really quick. But something within that story tells us that Abimelech recognized the hand of God was against his family because it says, and ask, tell Abraham to pray for you. So Abraham is now acting as a prophet, I believe in Deuteronomy 8, or Genesis 18. And Abraham prays for him, and God healed the house of Abimelech so that they could bear children. So you're going, okay, that tells me this went on for at least 9 months, maybe a year or two, where Sarah lived with Abimelech. Unbeknownst to Abimelech, this is actually Abraham's wife. But in the meantime, all of a sudden, Abimelech's slaves, wives, concubines, whoever, nobody's getting pregnant. Something's wrong here.
But she wasn't living with him as his wife.
Pardon me?
She wasn't living with him as his wife.
No. No, but somehow she had become part of his harem, part of his whatever. But so somehow in that story, there's a recognition that God is doing. They knew something wasn't right, at the very least, because nobody's having children. And that, I think, gives you a clue into their worldview. If that happened in our culture, would we all of a sudden assume, well, but gee, I wonder what's going on? Because I wonder who's sinning. Something's going on here. That wouldn't even cross our minds. We'd go, there must be something in the water, or because nobody's able to get pregnant. We wouldn't even think in those terms. They thought completely supernatural terms or spiritual. Their worldview was completely spiritual, where ours is truncated. We just don't think in those terms. So. I think it happened twice, and it appears that Abraham was concerned. Remember, Abraham was very rich, and one of the ways you concocted, if you will, alliances in those days was by marriage, probably one of the main ways. And so if Abimelech gets his a daughter, a sister, okay, he's now got an alliance with Abraham, who's obviously very rich. So he's a self-made man in his own right, so to speak, okay, in that world. But if she's his wife, all Abimelech or the Pharaoh has to do is kill Abraham, and they own everything. So he's basically doing this to save his own neck. You know, that it was very self-serving. But what's interesting is, did Abraham lie to Pharaoh and Abimelech? Yes. What was did Isaac lie and do the deceiving thing? Yes. Did Jacob lie and do the deceiving thing? Oh, my father, I'm Esau. Oh, you feel like Esau, but you got the voice of Jacob, huh? Gone, son of a gun. Boom, boom.
Like father, like son.
And I think from a negative aspect, from a negative example, it calls us, we pass things on to our kids for good and for ill. And so it calls, I think it just reminds us, especially if we could teach this to young parents. Remember, what you do, your children are going to look like you in more ways. And some of those ways will be really good, and you go, yes. And some of those ways you're going, oh, my gosh. One more question, comment, observations on whatever. We're done with Galatians for now. It's your fault, Jim.
I have my questions, but they have to do with Galatians, and you haven't gotten where I want to.
Oh, well.
There's a big question mark right here.
We'll get to it next week.
We've heard that before.
Well, actually, it's the next verses we're getting to, so it's the next slide.
We're bound to, huh?
Any other questions as you're reading anywhere from Scripture or what, anything, I guess?
Can I ask a question about authority?
Yes. Oh, yes, by all means. Yeah, well, that's a good thing. Well, let's close in prayer, and then we'll do the party thing. Father God, we thank you that we can party. Father, we thank you for celebrations, that you instituted feasts and celebrations for your people, that you are a God who loves to have a party. Father, we thank you for your word, again, that you would impress it on our hearts, write it on the tablets of our heart, Lord, that it would become a part of who we are. That we would recognize that we are of Sarah. We are free people through faith in Christ alone. Lord, we bless you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.